Napa know-how.
A Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
We don't have to agree on whether this is the right move yet, but Joey, just as we lay this out, just look at what Sacramento got for Boogie last week.
They got one full bag of peanuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect.
Yeah, so just prepare.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth.
Whee!
I'm going to be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
Just prepare.
I got my sweet jerry box with the shoes on.
That train is off the tracks.
Who doesn't love the bounty castle?
Taylor. Just prepare to... just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast and part of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Today is February 26, 2017, and this is episode 229, coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're discussing a short week of Pacers basketball, the trade deadline, and then we may be entering a dark and scary place discussing PG and the future of this team. Today's podcast is brought to you by GlassesUSA.com. Thanks to them for making this show possible. Joining me are our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Shout out to culture. You know, Colson, you are a man of the arts. You go to the theater often. Last night I took in a show. It was a Cheeky Monkey sideshow benefit for Planned Parenthood. I saw a guy nail a 6-inch nail into his head and also get money stapled to his body. And it was weird, but also they put on a great show. I was entertained. I laughed a lot and was weirded out quite a bit. So
nothing funnier than a nail to the head.
From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles, John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? You know, it's funny you bring that up, Jason. That's how I get tipped at work. At Long Branch, they just staple money to your body.
Wow.
It's kind of a theme restaurant. Well,
restaurant.
We started it recently.
Gotcha.
Can't wait to come in.
Just lots of staple guns laying on the table. It's weird.
From Eugene, Oregon, out west, is our enforcer, Sean Harper.
What's going on, fellas? I want to shout out to the winner of this year's trade deadline. Unequivocally, Roy Hibbert wins. He was traded 2 times. That's more than anybody else. So therefore, he won, right?
That's how numbers work, yeah.
That's how numbers work. That's the most.
I believe he gets the Jim O'Brien trophy.
I was so happy to hear that that exists now.
It's multifaceted. It goes for everything.
Yes. Anything and everything. I'd like to give a shout out to nature this week. We took a trip, my wife and I, to Starved Rock State Park in north centralish Illinois. And it's wonderful out there. We did some nice hiking, but it's just fantastic. Good trails on the river, nice B&B out there. So it's good and relaxing, and just awesome waterfalls. good stuff. If you're anywhere in the area, it's a good place to go. It's free, too.
Wait, there's very cool waterfalls in north central Illinois? How is that possible?
Absolutely. Yeah. You got to go, man. I don't know. They're out there. There's the river runs right through there, and some lakes, and
somebody dug a 20-foot hole, and now there's a waterfall.
No. They're not huge. They're not like, Niagara Falls or anything like that, but they're, 60 feet or something like that. They're good to look at.
Sweet.
All right.
Shout out nature.
Shout out.
Before we get too far into this, you can get in touch with us on the social medias. We're on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. We've got a website, TheUndebeatables.com, and there's a contact form there. You can send us a message there. You can give us an email at shoutout@TheUndebeatables.com.
Oh, yeah, go ahead whenever you want.
That's the sound of the not all that fast. Great.
Well, just two games this week. It's All-Star, the second part of the All-Star week. So just two games. The first one, Friday night, Memphis comes to town. This is February 24th, and the Pacers win this one 102-92. I thought a pretty convincing win against a very good team. The Pacers looked great out of the gate. They looked, to me, like they had a mission, and they were going to go win some games, get to the playoffs, and make a deep run in the playoffs. Colson, what did you think about their performance?
I did like this game. We beat up on Memphis. I mean, I thought early on I was worried because there was no answer for Marc Gasol. But there was lots of chatter on defense. I thought people were talking. The ball was moving around on offense. But the highlight for me was Rakeem Christmas was in this game. The 15th man on our bench. Al Jefferson was out with a toothache or dental work or something like that. And so I did not realize that we call Rakeem Christmas Rock, but I love it. It makes me love him even more. And he had back-to-back baskets with a nice defensive play in between. And once that happened, I realized we were going to win this game. Everybody, I think we had like six guys in double figures. It was just a good team win.
Mm-hmm. Six guys, not including Paul George, had a tough shooting night. I thought this game was the bench, that second unit. Yeah. The activity level in the second quarter really changed this game. It was kind of a back-and-forth game. And then the Pacers outscored the Grizzlies, that's what they're called, 36-23 in the second quarter. And then backed that up coming out of halftime with really good energy and effort, I thought, on the defensive end. Miles Turner altering shots and getting lots of steals and easy buckets breaking out of that. Yeah, I thought the energy was great. I thought the effort was great, especially as we're going to talk about ad nauseum after the anxiety I'm sure that was surrounding the team around the trade deadline. So,
yeah, this is one that we needed. And Paul George was only 9-9-4, but really a ton of effort in this one. And it really wasn't even as close. I mean, a 10-point lead looks substantial, but it was not that close.
We were up like over 30 at one point. Were we something like that?
We worked them. I did want to shout out to Chandler Parsons, the $98 million man with 4 points in 19 minutes. He's amazing.
He's so worth that money.
Monta Ellis played great in this game, was active defensively, shot the ball well, and you're right, it's the second unit, but we also did the things that we were supposed to do. We closed out quarters, we closed out the half, we started the half well. This was a professional basketball win against a good team.
I'd like to give a shout out to Vince Carter, who's 40 years old, still getting work done. 11 points off the bench, 3-6 from the floor, 2-3 from the 3-point line,
And had a dunk.
He had a dunk. I mean, he's still getting stuff done. I'm very impressed. I hope he sticks around for another year or two, just to show guys like us that there's still something left to live for. That was a bit much, maybe. One other game this week, Saturday, Pacers travel down to Miami. It may have been good that they didn't have time.
I feel you, Sharpie.
He watched the game with me, too. They lost this game 95-113. I thought it'd be great that they wouldn't have time to go out the night before because they were traveling. But it didn't. Well, some things happened in this game to change it. Pacers had a good lead going in. And then Paul George got involved, Harper.
Yeah.
What did he do?
A little bit back and forth going into the third quarter. Paul George and McGruber get locked up in the third. Double tech ensues. It was really a pretty soft call, which Paul George was emphatic about after the game, and decided that the entire league was softer as a result of this call. But then, a minute and 54 seconds later, still chirping at the refs about a missed call from two possessions earlier, gets called for a second tee in the third quarter early. That changed the tide of this one. The Heat ran off a 10-0 run shortly thereafter. The Pacers did fight back and made it close, but then we just got rocked in the fourth quarter. They beat us 30-16 after another 12-4 run. They go up 10. Not a good performance. Not good play from Paul George. He knows he's got to be smarter than that, and we just didn't have nearly enough firepower. The Heat are playing really well. They've now won 16 of their last 18. Yeah, disappointing game. And I think we've lost, like, oh God, how many have we lost in a row at Miami? So we played our last five straight at Miami.
Yeah.
We've played four consecutive games against Miami in Miami. Because of a weird scheduling quirk. They don't play at our house until March. But in better news, George did move past Billy Knight for number 8 all-time for the Pacers' career NBA scoring list. So there's that. Before getting tossed.
Well, the good news, when the Heat come into town in March, that's when the clubs start banging around Indy. So the Heat players, you know, will be enticed by the nightlife here.
Yeah. We've lost 11 in a row in Miami.
11 in a row in Miami? Wow.
And we're 2-18 in 20, or Paul George is 2-18 in 20 games at Miami.
Wow.
Does that include the playoffs?
That must, right?
I assume.
We've won a couple times in Miami in the playoffs.
Yeah, so I did not get to see this game, but I watched the condensed version on NBA League Pass or whatever.
Well played.
And they didn't... but it was weird because they didn't show the Paul George getting ejected thing. So I'm just like kind of half watching it while I'm eating my cereal this morning, and I'm like, okay, this is going well. Okay, we're up 10. Okay, nice. Oh, okay, they're rallying back. Okay, fine. And then the fourth quarter starts, and like,
you're like, Nate, Pacers, you gotta get Paul George in there, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, okay, winning time. Let's do this. And then we lose by 18. I'm like, what happened? And then I read later that he got kicked out. I was like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense, I guess. But, yeah.
More Rakeem Christmas, no Al Jefferson. We didn't have the guns to keep up with. This is a really confident team right now. And they played us really tough.
That's fine. And they played well, but Pacers had them. Like, they had it... I guess we've got a couple issues going
on. Adam would be an overstatement.
I mean, we're up 10 for like a good chunk of the first half. So, you know, it's not as if it wasn't a winnable game. So
no, it absolutely was a winnable game. And we were playing good basketball. I mean, you know, if you look at all the sort of benchmarks that we need to hit, we're right there on rebounding. We kept the turnovers down. But at the end of the day, we let them shoot 49%. Not going to win.
Right.
You give up 113 points, you're not going to win.
No, exactly. You can't give up 3 30-plus point quarters and expect to win. You know, this game is frustrating in the sense that, you know, JJ, superfan JJ, is a huge Paul George hater. And let's just go ahead and get into it, right? And so the argument is that Paul George getting kicked out cost the team this game, right? But I think it also illustrates his value to this team, right? Because without him, and without a secondary person to go to be a go-to person, this team just falls apart. And again, we see this team facing adversity and not responding well in any way, shape, or form.
Sure. We're already a little shorthanded here, right? Al Jefferson is out. You know, we don't need more guys not playing. And Paul George can't put us in that position. But that being said, you're absolutely right. Guys do got to step up. It's always next man up, right? And when your best guy is out, really the thing that you got to really concentrate on is playing great defense, right? Because you know it's not going to be as easy to score points without a superstar, right?
Absolutely.
You got to take care of the ball and play D. And we didn't do that. We let him rip off two, you know, 12, 4, 10-plus runs in the last two quarters. And those lapses are really what did us in, right? I really felt like after Paul George got elected or ejected, that ran us off on like a 10-0 run. And we did fight back from that, but that's where it felt like that game changed to me. Rodney Stuckey came in and was aggressive playing downhill, you know, because you should be able to attack Dragic. But the team, the entire team, they didn't get dialed in together. And as much as we might critique Paul George for not being a great leader, when he's out there, nobody knows what's going on.
Yeah, you've made this argument before on the pod, Harper, that this team kind of lacks an overall confidence in a chemistry, particularly when and that's shown very clearly when your most confident and talented player is gone. You've got a bunch of guys that there was nobody there to say, "We got this. Don't worry about it." You know?
No, not even a little bit.
Right.
I mean, Paul George is one of the leading scorers in the fourth quarter, right? I mean, when things get rocky for us, we just put the ball in Paul George's hands and hope good things happen. And then try to play good enough defense to win games.
Well, and he's one of our two defenders. We have two guys that can play defense on this team, and he's one of those guys.
Three.
Who are you talking
about? Thaddeus.
Oh, Thaddeus. Yeah. Okay, sure. Yeah. Sure.
Our defense fell apart when he was out with the injury.
Truth.
Oh yeah, we didn't mention Thad Young came back against the Memphis.
Woohoo!
And he looked pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he brings a lot to this team. I mean, I think that was definitely, we talked about it last week. You know, he without him defensively, rotations get screwed up. Our ability to be flexible defensively goes out the window. Our ability to attack the glass a little bit on the offensive end also goes out the window. So,
well. We probably tough already spent here, more time than I really wanted to on this game, given everything else that went on last week. And I do want to say before we get any hate mail, I know that dude's name is Magruder, but he's always going to be Magruber to me. So save your emails
MacGruber.
And tweets. Magruber.
Let's take time now. We've got a message here from our sponsors. This one's brought to you by GlassesUSA.com. I like these guys. Their mission is to change the way consumers purchase glasses. So GlassesUSA.com was created on one simple belief: eyewear shouldn't break the bank. The smart way to buy glasses, GlassesUSA.com allows consumers to purchase eyewear from the convenience of their homes, offering a wide variety of high-quality frames and lenses at affordable prices with no risk. No risk, you say? That's because they have free shipping and returns, 100% money-back guarantee, and you get a full refund within 14 days of delivery with no questions asked and a full 365-day product warranty. I think that's great. You buy it, you don't like it, you got 14 days, send it back, no questions asked, free shipping regardless. It's the same kind of stuff you'd find at retail. It's your doctor's office or anywhere else. And we've talked about this before. They got the virtual mirror. You can, take a picture of yourself and try on any pair of glasses they got on and see how it's going to look on you. So you can head over to glassesusa.com and use promo code Almighty to get 55% off any pair of glasses at checkout. Once again, that's glassesusa.com and promo code Almighty. You guys, a trade deadline just passed last week. A bunch of stuff happened, and a bunch of stuff did not happen. A lot of stuff going on. We're recording last week when DeMarcus Cousins got traded to New Orleans. PJ Tucker goes to the Raptors. What do you guys think about this one?
Oh, I mean, huge trade. I mean, that's measured on the Richter scale.
No, but I think the larger point here is that the Raptors got better. I mean, they picked up PJ Tucker, and they also had a trade earlier that was picked up Serge Ibaka.
Might have been slightly more meaningful.
Yeah,
PJ's a fine player. I don't mean to be mean to PJ. I would love to have PJ on my team. I really
exactly. Mm-hmm. I think he'll see minutes in a playoff rotation. I mean, the guy's going to play the wing and play defense and hit threes. So I think he's a useful piece. Yeah, you're right. He may not change the landscape of the NBA, but the Raptors were aggressive to try to get better, and I think they've improved themselves greatly. They're currently in the fifth seed, sixth mm-hmm. seed, but I think this puts them as the second or third best team in the East now, which is
they did well,
which is good.
They did well.
Okay. Maybe you don't like that trade too much. It's not the most interesting. What about this one? Taj Gibson and Doug McBuckets go for Cameron Payne over to the Thunder. More interesting for you?
Oh, poor Bulls fans.
Yeah, what's this about?
I think this is... I guess OKC wins this trade. Taj Gibson's the best player in that deal right now, and Doug McBuckets can make some shots for them, which is always useful. He's probably going to be more effective than Anthony Morrow, who came back to the Bulls in this trade. I think they must like campaign. They clearly do not see Rondo as their point guard of the future.
Which is fair.
And obviously don't see Carter Williams as the point guard of the future either. So, and I think I like campaign. I think he has a chance to be a middle of the pack, totally serviceable run a team point guard for you. With a ceiling of being, borderline all-star, maybe. Right?
I will give you that. But think about what a kick in the nuts this is for Bulls fans. What did they trade two first-rounders for McBuckets? And now they give him and Taj Gibson?
And a pick. They threw in a pick.
And a pick. And another pick to get McBuckets off their team. To get back a guy with some upside, but in no way a proven NBA player. I mean, that is a brutal turn of events for them and does not look good.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense either because they want to make the playoffs this year, right?
Right, and Taj Gibson is incredibly useful player. I mean, I would love to have this guy on my team. He plays defense. He does the little things. He scraps. He can hit an open jumper. I think he's going to help make OKC more dangerous. I mean, I don't want to face that front line.
No one wants to face that.
Yeah, Steven Adams and Taj Gibson now. Enes Kanter.
Yeah. Ugh. Those guys will mix it up. But luckily, they kept Mirotić, so go Bulls.
Great. Great move.
Speaking of big dudes, Nerlens Noel goes to the Mavericks. Mavs send out Justin Anderson and Andrew Bogut to the Sixers. Sixers had just... Well, they're just mostly big, tall dudes. Somebody's got to go. And Nerlens is the one released right now. Does this move the needle for anybody?
Well, was anybody confused by why Philly gave up on Nerlens for this paltry of a return? I mean, they can't like Justin Anderson that much. They get, what, a top 18 protected first-round pick?
Yeah. I mean, you've got a big man who's about to get paid a bunch of money, who's headed into restricted free agency.
In 2 years. Like, Nerlens Noel is not, coming up next year. He's still in his rookie deal.
No, I think he's...
I thought he was going to be restricted this year.
I'm pretty sure he's
going to be restricted He's going to be restricted this summer.
Okay, sorry. I thought they at least have one more year with him under a rookie contract, though. Am I wrong?
I'm pretty sure he comes up this year as a restricted free.
Okay, yeah. And they just don't want to pay him the money, so they had to unload him for nothing.
Somebody's going to offer him a ton of money.
I mean,
well, the Mavs
team's doubts. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And good for the Mavs to get a big guy for the future.
Yeah, I think it's a great move for the Mavs. What I don't get from Philly's perspective, I guess they just didn't have better offers out there, right? I mean, it sounds like, in general, the trade market was for guys that you thought had value, there were just not a lot of offers out there. You know, you mentioned Boogie Cousins off the top, Joey. The Kings got nothing in return for him, basically.
What, you don't want Buddy Hield in a second-round draft pick?
No.
Vivek loves Buddy Hield.
I mean, yeah, he totally does. But and Vlade Divac admitted that basically they had a better deal before that they turned down, and then they went for this deal. But whatever, we can talk
about it. Vlade Divac, GM of the year.
But I mean, you know, Philly certainly had a glut at center,
yeah,
and they needed to move one of either Noel or Okafor. And I guess they didn't want to deal with making the decision about having Noel on the team. The other thing is I think they kind of want to get worse. They're winning more games than they want to right now at some level. You know, they're still in the process. They still have a lot of picks in this draft.
No,
so they want to make those as good as possible.
Yeah.
So and I think that's part of the calculus.
I understand you commit to Embiid and say this is my front court guy of the future, but is there any evidence that he and Noel couldn't play together? I mean, I think they've played a total of like 18 minutes together on the court.
Well, I think the problem.
Eight.
I think the problem.
Oh, it's
is,
eight. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I think part of the problem is the 76ers don't think that Nerlens Noel is going to play significant games every season in the NBA. This guy with injury issues, right?
But they're willing to push their chips in on Joel Embiid.
I mean, hey, you know, if it's me, I mean, you might as well. Why would they not flip Okafor to the Pacers for a first round pick, right? I mean, that's the guy you want to get rid of, even if Noel does have injury issues. So this is, I mean, it's a bad trade for the 76ers if you're trying to get better, which arguably you're not. But, you know, Dallas did okay as long as the guy stays kind of healthy.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he had a great first outing with him. So.
And then Bogut goes to Philly, and there he wants a buyout, right? And I believe he got a buyout, and he's going to the Cavs, is what the.
Of course he is.
God.
Along with Deron Williams, who also is getting bought out from the Mavs. So basically, all the old guys from the Mavs are going to the Cavs.
And making them better.
Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, Bogut and Deron Williams both have something left.
Yeah.
You know?
So Bogut had to spend like half a season in no man's land and then went from the Warriors basically to the Cavs. Is that the life that he lives now?
Yes.
Sure.
That's not that bad.
Go back and forth between championship
between one of the two teams that will definitely win a championship.
he's this year's Anderson Varejao.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, good call.
We got, I think we maybe talked about the rest of them except this one. Ersan Ilyasova for Tiago Splitter. Went from the Hawks, between the Hawks and the 76ers there.
Ersan Ilyasova can shoot, sort of. No, everybody gives up on him. I feel like he's been given up on by more teams than anybody but Michael Carter-Williams.
Burn. He's not that good.
He's not that good. And he cost nothing. I mean, you could have had him. Did you want him?
No.
For 2 second rounders?
Okay, I'll take him for 2 second rounders.
Pass. Jason, I don't remember. Did you guys talk last week about Bojan Bogdanović going to the Wizards?
Nope.
That happened.
Does that move the needle for the Wizards?
Well, it certainly bolsters their bench. I think they signed Jarrett Jack as well.
Yep.
To be their backup point guard. So they're getting better. I mean, I think that they... I think they're now a solid top four team in the East. I mean, Bogdanović can shoot, and that always helps, you know. And then Jarrett Jack is much better backup point guard than Trey Burke, so...
Well, most importantly, they got rid of Andrew Nicholson.
locker room cancer.
Yeah.
Well, $20 million over the next 3 years, like, just get rid of the contract. He's not doing anything.
So your top four teams in the East now, the Cavs, Boston, Washington, and Toronto. Washington and Toronto both improved themselves at the trade deadline. Boston, suspiciously quiet.
Oh, they weren't quiet.
Well, no, they were rumored to be in multiple deals with Boogie, with Jimmy Butler, and with Paul George. And walk away with nothing here with all of their assets at the trade deadline. So are they big losers here? Or is their team fine and keep them, they'll be competitive?
Well, I think one thing to think about with them in particular is, you know, they're not trying to win the championship this year. They've never won. They have not even won a single playoff series with, you know, this iteration of the team with Brad Stevens at the helm. You know, I think right now you want to get that team some playoff experience. You know, hope, be great to win a round or two, and then make a push later. You know, and you want to wait a little bit to see how that shakes out, see who's going to stick around, who you're going to build around, and then after that, you know, you make some move. They still have these assets, so you know they can either use them or trade them away. But I don't think they were going to win it all this year.
I mean, they've got the number one overall draft pick.
Potentially,
right. Yeah. So they'll
it's going to be a top three pick and a great draft. Like, they don't need to rush into anything. They can throw the East into chaos by having all these these talks. But unless the right deal came along, they don't have to do anything. They're 3.5 games out of first place in the East. This team is playing good ball, and they've got good pieces. Are they good enough to beat the Cavs? I think that's probably a stretch, but if anybody's built to do it in the East, it's definitely them. And they're arguing.
I think Toronto's a better team than the Celtics now, with the addition of Ibaka and PJ Tucker.
I think Boston is capable of much better defense, and they have a Jay Crowder for LeBron.
Sure, I mean, they don't have playoff chops, though, like Joey mentioned, and Toronto does.
Toronto has playoff chops?
Well, yeah, the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
Yeah, they stumbled in. They shouldn't have got out of the first round. These guys, well, they look terrible in the postseason. And until they prove otherwise, I'm not convinced they're a very good team come playoff time. So I'll stick with Brad Stevens and Boston in that matchup. But at any rate, they're still 3.5. I mean, they don't have to do anything. That's my point, right? They're going to potentially get a franchise-changing player come June, right?
Right. Or still be in a position to make a similar move.
Right.
With and still trade for Jimmy Butler or Paul George in the offseason.
But the sticking point of that trade was likely the Brooklyn pick, right? But whoever they draft with that pick, they can package into that.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. But let's talk about what the Pacers did not do. We're tiptoeing around the issue that Unbeatables fans want to hear. Why did the Pacers not make a move at this deadline?
So I think in my mind the options were move Paul George, which a lot of people are in favor of. A lot of people are not. You know, it's a very divisive issue. A lot of people want to keep him here. You know, moving an all-star player is never something you do lightly. And the other way you can go on this one is making the team better for Paul George. His at the end of next season, he has a player option, which there's no way he's going to take because it'd be silly in any circumstance for him to take it, because he's going to make so much money, so much more money, no matter where he goes with this new CBA. Neither of those things happened. How do you guys feel about this one? Do you think that there wasn't a great deal on the table? And the Pacers may wait till the offseason to do something. Are the Pacers, you know, doubling down and they're going to make the team better so Paul George loves it here?
I see Colson's ranch shoes bubbling up.
Well, there's a bunch of different ways to go with this.
Any way you could go with it, we screwed up, right? So we spent all day thinking about trading away our franchise player instead of actively trying to find a piece to help him. Instead of apparently very clearly communicating to Paul George, because Larry Bird doesn't have feelings and emotions and doesn't know how to how all of this stuff is going to make Paul George feel, he apparently you know, does think try to negotiate a trade for Paul George, but then instead of saying, yeah, hey, people just called me and I had to listen, but I'm doubling down on you, or you're my franchise player, kind of left him hanging in the wind. Apparently, Paul George said he was left in the dark and frustrated. And so you end up with no piece to help him. You also didn't go ahead and make a trade. You said, is there a good trade out there? It sounds like there probably was if you want to rebuild the franchise.
Who are the people that we talked about already you were interested in?
Well, no. So apparently the deal on the table might have been a sticking point, but it sounds like what we're talking to Boston. It sounds like a first-round draft pick, that Brooklyn pick, which would have been a top-three pick, and then two of their four guys they're willing to trade, which is Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, Jay Crowder, and Jaylen Brown, were all on the table. With two of those guys. Now, apparently we asked
for... I don't want that for Paul George.
You don't want that? You could immediately reset your franchise. It would be the best case scenario for trading a superstar player. You get either a Jaylen Brown who's young player, you get a Jay Crowder on a 4-year deal that's fantastic. You get Avery Bradley who's...
We don't have to agree on whether this is the right move yet, but Joey, just as we lay this out, just look at what Sacramento got for Boogie last week.
They got one full bag of peanuts.
Yep. Right. And this trade is a million times better than that. This is an actual haul for a superstar player.
And you always lose that trade when you trade away a superstar player. You always lose the trade because whoever gets the best player in the deal wins that trade. But trading these things away, I think this is a pretty legitimate move if you're going to do it.
Well, I think there's two thoughts I have on this. So the first is I think that deal will still be there either with the Celtics or with the Lakers in the offseason once the lottery has been set, right? I think that Paul George will still command a number one pick, a top three pick, basically, plus interesting young assets on good contracts. So I don't think that you had to pull the trigger here.
Oh, I agree. You don't have to. Yeah. You didn't have to.
The other thing that I want to take issue with is, so there's been a lot of good pieces written, and we on this show have talked a lot about how the Pacers have been, for the past 4 years, setting themselves up to screw this up, right? But I would say that Paul George did himself no favors in this situation. So he went and had a meeting with Herb Simon, the owner of the franchise, and I'm assuming Larry Bird was around or at least knew what was going on. And they said, "What's the deal? Do you want to get get out of here, or are you committed to this franchise?" And he said, "Well, I want to bring a championship to Indiana, but if I don't have a chance to win a title, I don't want to be here." And so that forces the Pacers. The Pacers have to listen to offers, if not actively solicit them at that point, right? And you can't, if you're Paul George, you can't on the one hand take that position, which is, I'm not fully committed to this franchise, and I would like to move and contend for a title, and then be mad that team is dangling you out there in offers, right? You can't hold those two positions at the same time.
I take a slightly different tack on that, in that I think it's legitimate to say, look, you know, if you guys can't build a team around me, I'm going to find somebody who will. I think it's legitimate to put that pressure on your organization.
I'm not saying that's fine.
However, what you can't do is let your agent leak that you're hell-bent on going to the Lakers.
Sure, sure.
You can't do that.
Yeah, because you're handicapping yourself. You're handicapping the franchise that you work for, and you're handicapping yourself, basically. Yes.
And ultimately, I feel like this came down to institutional paralysis, right? You've got, on the one hand, Larry Bird telling Herb Simon, I'm not taking any offers. Herb Simon, meanwhile, telling Larry Bird, you have to take offers.
Because this guy isn't necessarily committed.
Because this guy's not necessarily committed. Larry Bird, in turn, swats away all the offers and lets him get 3 out of 4 of those guys and an unprotected Brooklyn pick.
Right. And he's messing with all that. Expiring from Amir Johnson. Like, apparently he asked for the whole roster.
And while he's doing all that, he's trying to find the right trade for us to get better. But at the end of the day, we do nothing. So, in short, we alienated our best player by not giving him any help. He hamstrung his own team in the process. And yes. Larry Bird did nothing to get the organization help to help the organization get better. So other than that, it was a perfectly executed trade deadline. But it's really kind of hard to imagine what else we could have done to muck this up more.
Well, the other factor,
could we have made this worse?
Well, so the other factor I want to mention is that, so apparently there was a quote-unquote monster offer from Denver, which was basically their entire roster and
outside of
all
Jokic.
Future draft picks
until
for
2020,
Paul George.
Yeah.
But I think they reneged because they were unsure that Paul George was going to sign. Or Paul George said he wasn't going to sign.
In part because his agent leaked out that he wanted to go to the Lakers.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but I read that as that at least the Pacers or other teams were in communication. Well, it couldn't have been Denver. Denver can't talk to him, right? Because that would be tampering. So it would have to have been the Pacers that were in contact with him that said, hey, we have this deal, but Denver wants to know if you will re-sign with them, right? Like, they had to be on the phone with him, and he had to say, no, I'm not going to resign in Denver.
And well, then, that, and it yeah, doesn't no, have to happen that way.
He said he wasn't going to resign with anybody in a trade.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying. It could have all been leaked through the media. Like, it was leaked that there was a monster trade offer, and then his agent leaks that he won't go anywhere else, and there wasn't necessarily internal conversation.
No, Jason is right. We asked him.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we had to have asked him. Yeah. Because you can't trust what's being leaked through the, like, you know, that's all, you know, counter intel, basically, right?
But so his agent's job is to get his client in the right place, right? And if he doesn't want to go to Denver or doesn't want to go to Boston, he can sabotage these trades through leaking this information.
Or he can just tell Larry Bird, like he likely did, that he's not going to sign.
Right.
So why did it end up all over the media?
Because that was his agent's ugly. A prick.
Yeah.
And it's also in his agent's interest. If his client wants to play for a championship team, he shouldn't be leaking that he wants to play for the Lakers, because that
makes no sense.
He wants to play for
his hometown. That's where he grew up.
It ruins their bargaining position, though.
Yeah, that's the thing that I don't understand a lot about, probably the most about all of this stuff, is that there's three places that he's talking about going. One is staying here, which is still on the table. You know, if we can contend for a championship at some point.
He's not going to stay here, Jeff.
Sure. I'm saying that's one of the options. Okay. It's been discussed. The other one is to go play for a contender elsewhere. And the third one is the Lakers. Why? I mean, I get the, you know, yeah, I don't, it's...
He grew up idolizing Kobe, you know, he wants to be in the rafters there, you know?
That team will rebuild.
I get that.
Yeah, exactly. And he would be a first piece to rebuilding, for sure.
Sure, but... You know, he's not 22 anymore. It's going to take some time for the Lakers. You know, he's got to know it's going to be some time till the Lakers contend for a championship.
Sure. But, I mean, they could get,
get free agents.
Free agents. Right.
Let's continue this discussion on Thursday, gentlemen. We've got a lot more to talk about. It's very interesting times we're experiencing here.
Well, coming up this week to continue this road trip, the Pacers play Monday at the Rockets. That game's on TNT. Then they do the second half of a Texas two-step. They go to San Antonio, play them Wednesday, and then travel to Atlanta Sunday. That's going to be our game of the week. Undebeatable's going to be in the building.
In the house.
Undebeatacon game one. It's going to be fun. So we'll preview that on Thursday's show and continue fretting about the future of our franchise that we love so dearly and hurts us so badly.
And fans, continue to send in those suggestions about where we should eat and go drink there in Atlanta and Charlotte.
Yes, please do.
I don't know the best place to get bottle service in Atlanta. I'll be honest with you.
You're going
somebody
on your
tweeted
own?
The Pacers.
Those guys know what's going on. But until next time, you can find us on Twitter. We're at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Website is TheUndebeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can send us all a message. You can review us on iTunes, and that really helps new listeners find our show. And while you're there, check out the other podcasts from the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. We've got a couple Smedium t-shirts for sale.
For a once and always coach, Bobby Sick-Leonard, now in the Hall of Fame. Turn out the lights. The party's over.
Poor Sharpie is distraught this week.
Yeah,
I know. All the sleeping he did all day is just really, it's really getting
catching up to him.
Sharpie sounds like me around 2:30 on Thursday. I'm just like, what's going to happen?
I know. I was looking at the clock, and I was just I'm looking at the clock, and kind of got the news sites open, watching Slack, and I was like, "Whoa!" But the night before, I guess, was the meeting, so I thought that I was pretty confident all day. It's like it's going to be clear for the Pacers at least. I was kind of watching, but to see if anything big happened. But then, I don't know. Is it the worst of all worlds? Is that
oh, yeah.
what we came out with?
Yeah, oh. No. It's basically the worst thing that could have happened for us at the trade.
And while you're there, on iTunes, check out all the other sweet podcasts from the Almighty. Check out the other podcasts from the Almighty. Sharpie.
If you think trains will stop if they see a car on the tracks, you're right. They will. About a mile after they hit you. In 2015 alone, 230 people were killed at railroad crossings. Don't become the next fatality. Stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.